is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute returns again from Peru, and so we will update a story that is both positive and mysterious about Peru's rich natural resources, its political stability in question always since the Castillo presidency was removed and he was jailed, and also the vision that Peru has approaching the fact of a major Chinese deep water port built on Peru's territory, and yet Peru has permission to request use of the port, but it's a little vague to me, which is why I'm glad the professor's here. Having a very good day to you. There's reason for Peru to be extremely positive about the future because its natural resources are much in demand and will continue to be. You can't build those data centers without Peru easily keeping the price of copper within reach. So you've been in Peru long enough now to apply for residency. What have you learned? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. Certainly, you have multiple different stories in Peru, but to begin, as you noted, Peru's economy and currency continues to be strong, largely because its vast mining wealth, a significant portion of that goes to China, actually extracted by Chinese companies, although you also have some traditional agricultural exports and other things. However, apart from that, and apart from the question of who benefits from the Chinese investment, including the significant new port of China, Shanghai, operated by the Chinese logistics giant Costco. Peru also is struggling against what I would characterize as just rampant corruption, institutional crisis, and a series of things that have gone along with that. That has included a spike in urban violence, certainly in the greater Lima area and throughout the country, that has featured literally an increase by 200 to 300% in kidnappings, as well as murders and other activities. And on top of that, Peru struggles with a combination of illicit activities. It used to be mostly just about narcotics. And you literally have a coca growing, which is spread from what used to be the Mantaro, Apurimac, and Eni River Valley, the famous Vrime in the center of the country, to new narco growing areas in the lowlands and in the jungle, in the north along the Putumayo River, in the east in Ucayali, and even in other parts of the country. But on top of that, production of cocaine, what you also had is new illicit wealth that's coming from informal and within that illegal mining. So again, that mining wealth, especially with gold now over $3,000 an ounce, has meant that you have just tons of money coming out of those informal sectors. They've had a major problem in the north of the country in a place called Pataz near Trujillo, where the government has sent a new, essentially combined military police task force to try to get the illegal mining there under control. But along the river border with Ecuador, a river called the Santiago River, which was near where Peru actually fought a war with Ecuador back in 1995, in the south east of the country near Bolivia, you have lots of different illegal mining activity that continues. And again, so you have what you have is a synergy between money coming in from illegal narcotics, money coming in from illegal mining, a lot of the money that's then laundered in urban areas where not too long ago you had groups such as Venezuela's Tren de Aragua set themselves up in major Peruvian cities. And now you actually have copycat gangs, which are farther spreading the violence. And that now you have people actually protesting against the violence and the fact that the government doesn't seem to be doing enough. Literally, just while I was there, you had hundreds of protesters shutting down parts of Lima, as well as Machu Picchu and other places. So all of this as Peru goes towards new presidential elections in April 2026, where literally the current president, Dina Boluarte, although stable, is at a historically unprecedented 2%, yes, 2% popularity rating. The Congress is actually even less popular, something less than 2% popularity. And you have 43 political parties with over 35 candidates. And so Peru is in a situation where, despite that mineral wealth, despite the prosperity, despite ironically a stable currency, virtually anything politically could happen. And there's deep dissatisfaction with the situation with violence, corruption, and illicit activity.
Does it suit the People's Republic of China that Peru remains politically unstable, or is that inconsistent with their plan to continue to extracting resources? Which way does China want this to go?
For me, in some ways, Peru is exactly the type of country where China does well. It is relatively stable economically, but it is deeply corrupt, which means that everything is available for a price and everyone is available for a price. And so, you know, China was able to get a very one-sided favorable access, complete control of the port of Chiangkai. China's been able to get a number of mining deals. Chinese companies have won lots of construction contracts, largely with corruption. Indeed, there is a joke in Peru, something called the China Construction Club, which is where Chinese companies would essentially divvy up you know, who would win this construction contract or that construction contract based on corruption and low bids from the Peruvian state. And so in many ways, although it's not just about corruption, China, I think, has found that the malleable nature of Peru's institutions has given it a pretty wide opening in you know, securing a commercial position in the mining sector, in ports, and in a number of other areas.
What presence does the United States have, and is there a policy at the Trump administration about something that's vital to Peru to note?
Well, ironically, John, despite everything that I just said, Peru and its government and President Boluarte, going back to some, I'd say, very good work by the previous ambassador, Lisa Kenna, at a difficult moment in Peru, we have a very strong relationship. And matter of fact, I had the opportunity to meet with their foreign minister, Schaller, who was very emphatic and I think very, very sincere about Peru's dedication to the West and democratic values. And so despite the positive U.S. relationship, you know, China is making strong economic headway. And I think Peru, the government is trying to have things both ways. And I think, you know, certainly there are concerns, but, you know, but for the moment, it's a matter of trying to kind of get Peru's institutional health and some of the violence under control before it causes really bad things to happen.
I'm speaking to Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. On occasion, he's been in Peru the last several weeks, which is why we're concentrating on Peru to start with. However, there's trouble in major pieces of the continent of the Americas, and we're headed to one spot right now that's fog of war, that's Venezuela. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.